From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. President Barack Obama is giving a series of speeches this week. The White House is billing them as major statements on what he wants to do about the U.S. economy. Yesterday in Galesburg, Illinois, the president emphasized the continuing problem of economic inequality.
The average CEO has gotten a raise of nearly 40% since 2009. The average American earns less than he or she did in 1999.
Obama says his economic plans are aimed at lifting up the American middle class.
What we need is not a three-month plan or even a three-year plan. We need a long-term American strategy based on steady, persistent effort to reverse the forces that have conspired against the middle class for decades.
So how would we do this? The president is talking about things he's spoken about before but been unable to convince Congress to approve, measures like developing new energy, rebuilding manufacturing, spending public money, more public money, on roads, bridges, and ports, expanding preschool to every four-year-old in the country, and also he's talking about raising the minimum wage. So is the president on track to get the country on track? Joining us with two perspectives, Marilyn Watkins, policy director at the Progressive Economic Opportunity Institute, and Paul Guppy, vice president for research at the Washington Policy Center, where they advocate for free market solutions. Welcome back. Pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
Let's start with the president's premise that the core economic challenge is reversing the trend of the rich getting richer, and we need to boost the economic fortunes of typical Americans. Does he have it right when he defines the problem that way, Marilyn?
Yes, absolutely. As someone who's worked on this kind of issue for a long time now, rebuilding our economy by focusing on rebuilding a viable, strong, thriving middle class is exactly the right way to go. Our companies are going to start hiring more workers when they have more consumers demanding their product. And that means we need to have consumers with money in their pockets to spend. People need to have that basic assumption that if they work hard and play by the rules, that they can provide a decent life for themselves and their families, not just right now, but securely into the future. And it's time that we refocus on that as our primary focus, this kind of trickle-down and austerity approach that we've been taking, particularly for the last 4 or 5 years, but actually for the last 30 years, really hasn't worked for the vast majority of Americans.
Paul Guppy, do you agree when the president says we need to reverse the trends of the very rich getting richer and the typical Americans not advancing?
Well, I wouldn't have the same emphasis that he does. I think he has the right goal of building up the middle class, which is what all parties want to do. That's what everyone wants to do. But I was surprised that the president didn't actually examine his own economic policies to see if they were achieving that goal. So I disagree with his emphasis on focusing on the rich, and I think that creates division and bad feelings. But he doesn't propose anything positive about how to lift up the middle class. And his policies, like opposing the XL pipeline or promoting Obamacare early in his administration, I think he lost the opportunity in 2009 and 2010 to put economic policies in place that lead to growth and more opportunity for everyone.
Well, here's one thing that he talked about that might improve the fortunes of low-income people, at least he says it will, and that's increasing the minimum wage. And in fact, we've got a bit of a discussion going on here. Workers in SeaTac have gotten that on the ballot in that city, and there's some discussion of it elsewhere. When the president talks about raising the minimum wage, he says that right now it's lower than it was when Ronald Reagan took office, adjusting for inflation. We already have the highest minimum wage in the nation here in Washington State. Paul Guppy, would raising the minimum wage nationally even affect us? Is it kind of just to the side?
It might not affect Washington State because we already have a very high minimum wage, but I think it would affect the national economy because what a minimum wage does is put people out of work. It destroys job opportunities at the lower end of the ladder. So what it literally is where policymakers are passing a law which make it illegal to hire a lower skilled person at a lower wage, even if that person wants to volunteer for that work. So it basically puts a lot of people into the black market for labor, but mainly it puts them out of work. So there's a lot of talk about raising the minimum wage for people who have jobs, but it doesn't give voice to the people who are unemployed, and it prevents them from having opportunities.
So Marilyn, Paul thinks it might not affect us much here, but nationally it would be a bad idea to raise the minimum wage. Do you agree with both parts of that? Since we already have a higher minimum wage here, would it be really have not much to do with Washington State if it was raised nationally?
Well, I think it's actually been completely disproven that raising the minimum wage hurts jobs. In fact, here in Washington State, we do have the highest minimum wage in the country for over 10 years now because of a citizen initiative that was widely passed. Every county in the state approve the initiative. We've had a cost of living adjustment every year to our minimum wage. That's why we have the strongest minimum wage now. And here we have one of the most thriving economies. Here in Seattle, the Seattle area, we've actually exceeded the number of jobs that we had before the recession hit. And, you know, here we have not only that strong minimum wage, but here in Seattle we have everyone has to provide paid sick leave to their workers, too. So we've sort of doubled down on those kinds of requirements. And it's still, even in our low-wage sectors, you look at restaurants and retail and those kinds of sectors that are impacted by the minimum wage, we're doing really well here in the Seattle area and in Washington State. I think we'll see that same kind of thing happening in the country. In fact, the economy does grow from the bottom up and the middle out, not from the top down.
Here's the second thing that the president talked about. He talked about expanding preschool for every four-year-old in the country. And he said this wasn't just for the kids in early childhood education. He said it provided a support system for working parents. Is that something we should be doing to improve our overall economy, Marilyn Watkins?
Absolutely. You know, we need preschool for every four-year-old and every three-year-old, you know, frankly. And we need better quality and better affordability, better access and better wages for all child care workers across the country. And you're absolutely right. That's going to help every individual child succeed better in school and achieve their dreams to follow any kind of career they want. They need that early learning to get that boost. And working parents need that kind of assurance that their kids are well cared for and taken care of so that they can be good, productive employees in the workplace, too.
Paul Guffey, you said you agreed with the president's goal of helping out the middle class. Is providing preschool to every four-year-old a way to do that?
See, I guess this is where we're going to have a philosophical difference, because I just don't agree with a top-down, one-size-fits-all policy that's imposed by the government. So what families need is opportunity. Choosing daycare or preschool on the private market, I think, is a good idea. But forcing everyone to pay for it so that some families have a certain lifestyle choice, but those families who want to take care of their kids at home, they're required to pay the taxes, take on the financial obligation, but they don't get the benefit. So the key of lifting up the middle class is to provide people with opportunities, lower costs, daycare and preschool services that are competitive, and not simply impose another mandatory program on everyone.
Now, the president's proposals is sort of a prelude to some big budget battles taking place in the other Washington this fall, and we'll certainly have you back to see how these progress or regress, as they tend to do in the other D.C. Marilyn Watkins is policy director at the Progressive Economic Opportunity Institute. Paul Guppy, vice president of research at the Washington Policy Center. I'm Ross Reynolds.